Well, good evening, and we're going to continue our service with, as usual, every one of us is on some kind of a journey with God, and just like to encourage you all that we are all called to victory, that there is no other call in your life other than a call of victory, that you are not chosen to fail, you are not chosen to be a demonstration of uselessness, you are indeed called to victory, and victorious you are. So keep that focus. Whenever we talk about anything appertaining to warfare, granted that there is a battle, that you are in a war, and we've been doing things on warfare for several weeks, and we're going to continue with it. And I've been looking for some kind of theme for the next 2 or 3 weeks to get across the way I see it. And I found it in an ad from the Olympics. So have a look at this, see what you think of it. Yeah, well, the light guy, where's the light guy gone? Shoot him. It's a war. We shoot deserters in wars. Okay. Praise God. I love that commercial. I think it says it all. I got soul, but I'm not a soldier. We're coming into course. November is a month where we remember our veterans. And yet most of us have never been in the military, never will be in the military. And yet we still need the heart of a soldier. We know that Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy and said that you need to endure hardship, like a good soldier. So that's why I like this so much. Is if you got soul, then you need to be like a soldier. So I want to discuss tonight a scripture that we're going to begin in the book of Proverbs. I don't know if you want to follow in your Bible. If not, we're going to put it up here. We're going to begin with Proverbs chapter 19. We're going to go through some scriptures quickly before I bring any more examples. Proverbs chapter 19, beginning verse 20. And listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. Just leave that there a minute. Just want to encourage you, young folks, just pay attention to this verse, that you may be wise in your latter days. It takes a long time to build a bank of wisdom. It takes a long time before wisdom begins to stick in. You know, when you're young, you're enthusiastic, you're zealous. Most people, you've got a zeal for God, but you don't have the zeal of God, and that's quite different. We'll talk about that another time. Okay. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel will stand. What is desired in a man is kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. The fear of the Lord leads to life, and he who has it will abide in satisfaction. He will not be visited with evil. Okay. The Lord's counsel will stand. I want to encourage all of you that during your next, I don't know how many years you're going to be floating around the earth, probably about 60 or 70, you're going to hear a lot of counsel. We hear counsel every day. We get it on the news. I should think in the last 2 or 3 months, you've probably heard more political counsel than you want to hear for the rest of your life. Why I've actually paid absolutely no attention to it whatsoever. I do that on purpose, by the way, because I want to encourage you that if you do not, your man doesn't get in when the voting comes in next week, you may be disappointed. I want to encourage you that next week I will pray for our president. I will lift our president up before God, whoever he may be. And I want to encourage you that one of the things that Linda was talking about is we have to avoid the Christian bigotry that has been showing so much in the past. where we have this sort of strange conservative right angle at everything in life. And I think it's time for us to be a little more accepting in the fact that if the country votes another way to what we choose, then we have to submit to that reality. Or maybe you may find yourself actually not under the authority of God. So just want to encourage you this week, whatever happens, don't be disappointed. Just salute your new president. Hallelujah. That's a word for the wise. Okay, let's go to Proverbs chapter 20.
Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And the next verse, 18. Plans are established by counsel. Leave this one up here. By wise counsel, wage war. By wise counsel, wage war. That's why this message is waging war according to counsel. Next verse. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. The glory of young men is their strength, and the splendor of old men is their gray head. So let's stop there a minute. Let's realize that as people get older like me, the more gray hair we get, the better off we are. The Bible says in the book of John, the epistle of John, it says, I write to you young men because you are strong. I write to you fathers because you've known him from the beginning. And this is something that God's always wanted to do. He's always wanted to link up the generations. But culturally, we find that difficult to do. And it's essential, I can't get it across enough, for young people today, I want to encourage you, link up with the older generation. We have not got your strength. We have not got your savvy when it comes to technology. We don't know what the latest songs are. We don't know who's this and what to wear. Although, looking around here, I don't know if anybody else does anyway. But the reality is that your future is going to depend on how teachable you are. And the more teachable you are, and the more you listen to men and women with gray hair. This is why Titus chapter 2 talks about older men teaching the younger men, older women teaching the younger women. It's an essential part of life that we culturally don't accept. We don't accept this drawing together for this time of wisdom. There was a time, in fact, I was just thinking, just to throw in a commercial here. I was talking to Philip Smethurst this week. He was flying out to Zambia. Those who don't know him, he's the director of Overland Missions. And he was telling me next year in August, they are going to, he was just up there in Billings, Montana, wherever that may be. And in Billings, Montana, he met with the chief of the Crow tribe. He said that next August, they are meeting, there's an in-gathering of 20,000 members of the Crow tribe. And Rodney Howard Brown, if you've ever heard of him, is going to take a tent up there that seats 5,000 people and hold a huge crusade. And Philip's going to go. I intend to go if all goes well, God willing. And also, they're going to have something. This is what you youngsters should get involved with. It's called a coordinate conference. He has them every year when all he does is publish the coordinates and the time of where the conference is going to be. And that's it. You've got to find it. Bob and Esther went last year. Was it last year in El Salvador? In fact, they were the only ones who actually got the exact location of the conference in this place in El Salvador. But it's something that you guys, you know, I should think by another year or two, you'll all have GPSs on your watches or in your phones, or and you'll have to teach me how to use it. But I want to tell you, I'm probably the one to teach you what to do when you get there. So these things are important. We need to keep together. We need to understand. A young man is strong. A young woman is strong. And yet the older guys, you know, wisdom comes from a lot of years of learning, a lot of years of getting knocked around, a lot of years of learning to bob and weave and duck and move. And it doesn't come. You can't go. There's no college that I know of that offers a postgraduate course on wisdom. Plenty of information, plenty of understanding, plenty of technology, plenty of psychology, but there actually isn't, that I know of, a wisdom degree that you can get from college. So therefore, you need to realize that it's important, and the best way to get it is to listen to counsel. And by counsel, wage your own war. Let's just go to the next chapter. What was that next one there? chapter 24, just to finish off the point. Through wisdom, a house is built. Through wisdom, a house is built. Most of you haven't started building your houses, building your lives, building your family. But trust me, you don't build it with money. You build it with wisdom. You don't build it with education. You build it with wisdom. By wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it's established. This is why the Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Next. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Yes. A wise man is strong. Yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. For by wise counsel, you will wage your own war. And in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. Now, counsel is something that we all need. I've got a whole list of things here that we need to wage war. Let's just start with some of them. Your personal achievement. Let's face it, you're spiritually, we all need counsel. Spiritually, we all, I mean, people are coming and asking me questions all the time. We need counsel when it comes to understanding the word, to know how to pray. We need counsel with all these things, our accountability. All these things are things that you need counsel in. And that the list is endless. In fact, I might even bore you with it. But let me say this, your personal achievements, your life goals, your growth, are you seeking counsel in it? Character development, are you seeking counsel in these things? According to this, it seems that the best counsel comes from the people with the little gray hair. And, you know, I don't know about, there's not too many married people here, but there was, you know what my favorite game show is? Does anybody know what my favorite game show is? Family Feud. I love Family Feud. The reason I love Family Feud, not just because I like to see the fight, but I like to see it because it gives me an idea of the way the culture thinks. I remember once they did a Family Feud, you know, survey says, and it was, what newspaper is the most influential in America? Well, the first one was obviously New York Times. The second was the Washington Post. The third was the Los Angeles Times. And the fourth was the National Enquirer. I thought, praise God, we really have got a wonderful future if people actually think that the National Enquirer is more important than USA Today, which wasn't on the list, to give you some idea of the way some people think today, because they're not seeking wise counsel. And so, but one of the things they said is, what is one of the things your husband never asks your opinion on? And one of them, in fact, the survey said, number one was asking directions. Oh, we got a nod. Thanks, buddy. Glad you're here. So while we're on the subject of asking directions, let's just have a look at this next video.
No, thank you. We're looking for the interstate.
I get that a lot because of the detour.
Oh, now they've lost their way. Now they can't go home.
You sure you don't want one?
We're sure. Thank you.
Oh, they make Cracker Jack pets. I taught this one to shake hands. He's not for sale, though.
Hey, who wants to go home with the nice ladies, huh?
Oh, pick me. Oh, don't be afraid. I don't bite.
What's your name, pretty lady?
Vera.
Ma'am, really, we're not interested.
Well, I'm not talking to you, Emma. I'm talking to Vera. What about Bucky here? He just loves to climb the trees and eat the nuts.
Ma'am, we do not want a squirrel. Now, do you or do you not know where the interstate is?
Well, of course I do. I'm not retarded.
Tell him about the shortcut.
Oh, thank you, Bucky. I almost forgot. There's a dandy shortcut that'll bring you right to exit 14. It'll save you 30 miles.
Oh.
Okay, now listen carefully. You want to go straight down here, exactly 1.8 miles.
1.8.
And you make a left at the Totem Pole Ranch. Go 5.4 miles, and you're going to go up a big hill, and you'll see a big yellow sign with some graffiti on it. There's a little dirt road. Take that on the right. It'll take you right to the interstate.
Thank you very much.
Oh, wait a minute. Take some nuts with you.
just in case you see a squirrel.
Bye. Oh, look, there it is. Totem Pole Ranch, turn left.
1.8 miles, exactly. All right, squirrel lady.
Okay, we're at 2.4 miles.
There's the yellow sign with the graffiti. Turn right.
I see it.
You see it?
I see it.
Oh, I just love this. This is like a treasure hunt.
Praise God. The moral of the story is you should have bought a squirrel. And you know what is the wonderful thing about this is the directions were perfect. The directions were exact. The advice and the counsel was precise, even to the very 1.8 miles, and then you'll turn left, and then 2 point this, and you'll see a sign, yellow sign with graffiti on it. Turn just there. You see, many times when you receive counsel, it seems such good counsel, seems such good advice, it seems such good directions in life, but you end up going off the cliff. And this is why I want to encourage each and every one of you, just because the advice and the counsel seems exactly right doesn't mean to say it's going to give you good counsel in life. So I want us to look at a couple of scriptures. I think first thing we need to do is go to the story in 2 Chronicles chapter 10. 2 Chronicles chapter 10, it's a bit of a long story, but I think this is important. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon. You may not all know, Saul was the first king. God rejected him. Then King David, the great king, came in. Then his son, Solomon, was the first king of peace. The only trouble is Solomon backslid, and Rehoboam, his son, took the throne. Next verse. So it happened when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, heard, he was from Egypt, that Jeroboam returned from Egypt. Then they sent for him and called him, and Jeroboam and all of Israel came and spoke to Rehoboam, saying, your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, come back in 3 days. And they departed. And King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon. And what was their advice? How do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him saying, if you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. But he rejected the advice which the elders had given him, and he consulted the young men who had grown up with him who stood before him. And he said to them, what advice do you give? How should we answer the people who've spoken to me? Lighten the yoke which your father's put on us. Then the young men who'd grown up with him said, thus you should speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, your father made your yoke, our yoke heavy, but you make it light on us. Thus you shall say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips. I will chastise you with scourges. So Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam on the third day. The king had directed, come back to me the third day. Then the king answered to them roughly, and King Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders. And he spoke to them according to the advice of the young men, saying, my father made your yoke heavy, but I will add to it. My father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scourges. So the king did not listen to the people, for the turn of events was from God, that was the Lord might fulfill his word, which he had spoken to the hand of Ahijah the Shilonite and Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Now when all Israel saw the king did not listen to them, the people said, what share have we in David? We have no inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to your own tents. O Israel, now see to your own house, O David, so all Israel departed to their tents. This is one of the hardest tests of young people. It's so challenging for young people to listen to people with gray hair. Because we, to you, seem like, what's the word I'm looking for? Old flatulence. That's the word I'm looking for. If your English isn't very good, ask someone. But the thing is, you can't get wisdom and good advice from your peers. I know this is a hard thing. How many times have you been in the church a long time? When you're expecting your first baby, don't go and ask someone who's expecting their first baby what to do. They don't know any better than you do. They're just as scared, just as nervous, just as a rookie. No, please, don't go to another rookie if you're a rookie. If you're a rookie and you're having your first child or you've had your first child, go to someone who's had 4 or 5 or 6 or 7 children and ask them the things that to do when it comes to your children. Don't, if you're a newlywed, go to another newlywed for advice. This is why we had a newlyweds banquet just recently. And the thing is that the best thing is to ask somebody who's been schlepping along with somebody in a monogamous relationship for over 30 years. That's the way to begin to get advice. Now, granted, if the person giving you advice begins the advice with this, "When I was your age," maybe you shut down in your ears and in your soul and you can't hear them speak. And I don't blame you. Therefore, I'm talking to anybody with gray hair tonight. Don't ever start a sentence with, "When I was your age." They don't want to know what happened when you're in your age. They just want some good, sound advice. But counsel is essential. The Bible says, "By wise counsel, wage your own warfare." Now, anybody that's asking for advice, we are not giving you the answer by giving you counsel. Anytime anybody asks me for advice, I could give them the best advice in the world or the worst advice in the world. I'm still not the one making the decision. You are. Are we okay with that? By wise counsel, wage your own warfare. I was just recently trying to figure out a couple of things about how to continue building the church in Kingston, but by the same token, my heart's cry for the nations. How do we begin to continue building a community of compassion and character in Kingston, and yet there's so many billions of people in the world who haven't heard the gospel yet? And so I did seek counsel. I spoke to Rick Calhoun, who's the next guy in the vineyard. I spoke to Phil Chorlian, who was here last week. And at last I went to Phil Strout. Now, Phil Strout in Maine gave me the best answer of all. He looked me in the eye and said, "Vaughn," I said, "What?" He said, "Figure it out." You see, because I've already got some gray hair and I've already been around the block enough times to realize that I'm at a place in my life and in my age where I really need to be able to push into these things. But I want to encourage you young people. Are you making decisions about what? About your future, about your finances, about your education? Who are you asking? Don't ask somebody who hasn't been to college. Don't ask somebody who even dropped out of college. Ask somebody who's gone a little further than you have. If you want to get an associate's, that's great. Ask somebody who's got a bachelor's what they recommend. If you want to go and finish your degree and do some postgraduate work, then go speak to somebody who's got a PhD. Go speak to somebody who understands what it means and the sacrifices that are necessary for your education. You want financial. Look at the finances. The finances of our nation in the future are so unstable. If you're going to go into business, then please do yourself a favor, ask a businessman. Ask someone who's walked down the path. It's essential for you to get some counsel about your money, about your debts, about your investments, about risks, whether to borrow or lend or everything else. Keep asking counsel. And this counsel is essential, and it's free, praise God, most of the time. What else is there that we can ask? Look at our relationships. What relationships we've got? We've got platonic relationships. We've got familial relationships. You know, most of us, you think that actually even loving your children is not instinctive. The Bible says we have to teach each other how to do this. This is all counsel that we need continually to get towards us all the time. I'm going to run through a few more things here. Take your health. It's not so important when you're young. But if you start young, you'll be better. You won't end up with the problems that most of us did in our generation.
You know, are you asking the right questions about nutrition, about exercise? Are you going to the right doctors and the right dentists even? I'll be honest with you, there was a time that I would only seek counsel from Christian people. In fact, let's go up to Psalm 1. Psalm 1, of all the things God could begin the Psalms with, he began with this piece of wisdom. And what does it say? Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Let's just stop there and think about that, folks. Blessed is the man when you're seeking counsel about marriage, about your money, well, about your education. You're seeking counsel about your relationships. Well, you would be blessed to walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. I admit to you that sometimes I get frustrated as a pastor because people don't ask my opinion about certain things that I've already been through once or twice or three times. And so they go, like, for instance, if you were in some kind of debt and went to your bank manager and asked for advice, you would sit down and listen to them as they professionally went through all the options. And if I began to speak to you about, well, what are you doing for God, you'd get offended. And yet the reality is it's so easy for us when people are trying to give us advice when all they're really doing is trying to sell us a squirrel. And it sounds good advice. And it's precise advice. But where do we end up with it? Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Psalm 1:1. Does it ever go, that's the first thing God said in the Psalms? You know the scripture that talks about being not unequally yoked with an unbeliever? And of course, the subject is marriage, but not only marriage. Are you going to go into business with an unbeliever? That could be a tricky job. I'm not saying about do business with an unbeliever, but to go into business with an unbeliever, that could be tricky. Being equally yoked is essential. There are so many things in life where, that you can just end up off the end of the road in a pile, and on the way over the cliff, all you're remembering is, I should have bought a squirrel. Or maybe I should have listened to godly advice. Maybe I should have listened to the pastor or the elders. You know, like this young man, he was offered the wisdom of the elders, and he said, I'm not listening to you. I'm listening to my buddies. I'm listening to my mates. I'm listening to the guys I hang out with. Because it's easy to get counsel from your peers. It's easy to get counsel from those guys you hang out with. But half the time, it isn't the counsel you need. Because they haven't yet walked up the path of the older people with the gray hair. He listened to the counsel of his peers instead of the elders. And it actually split Israel, and Israel has never to this day ever come back together. So I want to encourage you, counsel is very important. By wise counsel, wage your own war. It's a fight. It's a battle. What other kind of decisions have we got here? How about any legal? I mean, most of you don't have legal problems, but what about advice on lawyers, custody, divorce, powers of attorney, us older folks who have got living wills. I thank God that I always try and go to a lawyer who's a believer because they understand where I'm coming from. They understand what I'm thinking about. I always used to go to Christian doctors, Christian dentists. I mean, I'm not saying one has to do it, but, you know, they're giving you counsel and they're giving you advice about your health and about your life. And maybe it's important that we remember what Psalm 1, verse 1 says. We're blessed when we do not sit and listen to the counsel of the ungodly. They may just send us off a cliff with a bag of nuts. And that's all you end up with. So I'm just going to try and wrap this up with the last scripture out of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 9, I thought, offered us such wonderful advice. And it says here, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. And you have multiplied the nation and increased its joy. They rejoice before you according to the joy of harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the days of Midian. For every warrior's sandal from the noisy battle and garments rolled in blood will be used for burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Jesus is our counselor. Jesus knows everything there is to know. It says here, and the government will be upon his shoulder. In case you're discouraged next week about the election, I just want to remind you that the government will be upon his shoulder. Don't get concerned. Don't miss the opportunity of casting your vote. But don't be disappointed this week, because we need counsel that isn't going to come just from the White House. We need counsel that isn't just going to come from the Pentagon. We need counsel that isn't just going to come from the Senate or the Congress. We need counsel that isn't just going to come from bank managers or lawyers or doctors. We need counsel that's going to come from the throne of grace, from Jesus himself. And unto us, every one of us, a child is born. Every one of us, a son is given. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. So I want to ask you a simple thing. When was the last time you took your debts to Jesus? Literally got on your knees and said, Lord, I don't know what to do with this debt. I've tried everything. It hasn't worked. When's the last time you went to him with your relationship and you got on your knees and said, Lord, I've tried so hard with my spouse, with my parents, with my children, and it's not working. I need you, Mighty Counselor, to give me advice. And I want to encourage you, often Jesus does give advice through people. He does give advice through people with a little gray hair. And so my last thought is this: what's stopping us from asking? What's stopping us? When people are lost in their journey, what's stopping us from asking directions? With all the traveling I've done in my life, I've learned one thing. Don't ask non-travelers for directions. I remember the amount of times I've called and said, okay, give me directions to your house. Well, if you take 310 to exit, I think it's exit 19, but it's a blue sign, and on it, it talks about, well, I think it's Kingston and the bridge. Now, what was the name of that bridge? And well, anyway, get off there, and then you go through the... No, is it the toll booth? And by the time they've told me about every gas station on the way and every bank on the way, I'm so confused. I just need someone to say, get off at exit 19, third left, first right, number 12, Murphy Street. Thanks, Paddy. I'll see you. So I'm going to ask you this question, and I believe it's very important. If you're going to see a successful life, as the Bible promises, then whose counsel are you seeking when you have a need? Whose counsel? Are you looking for a get-rich scheme to get you out of debt? It won't work. The Bible says that an inheritance gained hastily at the beginning is not blessed at the end. There's no other way to get your life in shape than to find that there is a counselor that has been given. His name is Jesus. He has a body. Let's begin to use that, and let's begin to allow his counsel to be our portion. So let's give thanks now. Why don't we stand together tonight? And I know that there's some people here tonight who have been disappointed with counsel. You've been disappointed with counsel from godly people. You've been disappointed with counsel that you've received from pastors or elders. And I want to encourage you tonight to let that go. Because sometimes our unforgiveness stops us from hearing what we need to hear. Sometimes we've heard counsel from family members, from friends. But I want to encourage each and every one of you that Jesus himself wants to answer your prayers. Jesus himself wants to communicate with you. Are you struggling in a relationship? Are you battling? Are you still trying to get over a divorce, a rejection? Maybe you receive bad counsel in that situation. You know what I felt the Holy Spirit nudging me to do tonight? Is I wanted to pray for all the young people here. That looks like the first three rows here. But actually, Chris and Carrie and Bob are going to come forward with Elaine. And we're going to pray for the young people tonight. Just come forward, folks. And the reason is very simple. I'm going to ask the Lord if he will just touch some of you young folks and just minister to you the necessity of seeking counsel. Your lives are very precious to God, and they're very precious to us. You guys are important to us. You guys are important. Our future depends on you, not me. And we need you guys to grow up wise. I really hope that you go on and get degrees and education, whatever you want to do. You become professionals. You become good at what you're doing. But I also want you to have confidence to ask counsel. And I want to say this. You're not going to surprise us if you've made a bad mistake, if you feel like you should have bought a squirrel last time. We're not going to get upset with you. We don't want to judge you. We're not here to condemn you and what you've done right and what you've done wrong. I'm concerned about your future, not your yesterdays. So we're going to take some time now, and I just want to ask all you young people, why don't you all just come forward? And we've got the youth leaders here. We're going to pray for you tonight. We're just going to play a little quiet music in the background. I'm going to pray for any of you older folks who want prayer and any of you that have been hurt in the past. And those of you that have sought counsel and have been damaged, let's tonight begin to believe God to repair some of that stuff. So young folks, why don't you come forward and we're going to start praying for you.